All right. Thank you, Rosie. Okay. So we have a quorum here, so that's great. I'm going to go ahead and get started. I apologize if I'm a little slow today. My sinuses are like a boulder in my head from all the smoke, but we should be able to get through this meeting fairly quickly. We only have a couple of things that came up at the state AOG meeting that was held last week that they wanted us to talk about, and then just some quick action items that we need to do to finalize our rating and ranking criteria that we talked about at our last meeting. But first, if we could approve or discuss the minutes from the May meeting. I see one typo in there that I will fix, but as far as content, did you guys have time to look through those meeting minutes?
I did. It looks good with the one correction.
Okay. So Lance, is that a motion?
Yeah, I moved to approve the meeting minutes from whatever date, May.
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you.
I beat you, Mayor Mark.
Yeah.
yeah. You're always quicker than I am.
Not really.
Okay. Okay, so next, last meeting we had talked about our rating and ranking criteria. We didn't identify any major changes to that criteria, only discussed that item number 7 needed a little bit more detail. And so in the lower section that describes each of the criteria below, I added in some examples of some planning documents that could meet the criteria for quality planning. It's not a fully inclusive, comprehensive list. That would be just entirely a lot. But the examples there, I think, should be able to provide an idea of what it is that we're considering to be included in quality planning practices. So unless you guys have any other things you think would be helpful to be added, I'm definitely happy to add those things. Otherwise, we just need a motion to approve them as they stand, knowing that the 30-day public comment period is still open. So if we do get any public comment, we'll have to revisit this again with the public comment, but presumably we won't get any public comments. So if we could make a motion to approve the updates pending any public comment. Unless you guys have any other comments.
Okay, Christy, which one did you update? You said number 7?
Yeah, so if you scroll.
Is that the regional quality planning?
Yep.
Okay.
So the additions are on page 17.
Christy, this is Rochelle. I think they look good. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Awesome. And any opposed? Okay. Perfect. So then the last thing I wanted to talk about was something that came up at the state AOG rep meeting. I'm going to share my screen really quick. It's the method of distribution that the state uses to allocate the funds. Are you guys seeing the spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a formula that DWS uses to allocate funds to each of the 7 AOGs. We use the same method for about 35, 36 years. And then in 2018, the state policy board voted to update them and use those criteria use this formula for 3 years. So that's for 2019, 2020, and 2021. So this is the formula that will be used this year, but in this upcoming September, when the state policy board meets again, because those 3 years will then be up, they're going to take a vote on either continuing to use this method of distribution or entertain a discussion to modify it. This formula that we came to was a compromise. What it comes down to is the more rural AOGs and then the more metro AOGs, which turns out to be 4-3, and we are in that 3 group. So we're more of a metro AOG compared to the 2 AOGs like 6 County and Southeastern. So while we proposed a little bit of difference to this, this was kind of a compromise where we lost a little bit of funding, but not a lot of funding. And I expect the conversation will be pretty similar this year. Mayor Allen and I have discussed this a little bit as he's our state policy rep, and just kind of, weighing the fight against the outcome. We thought this was a pretty fair outcome on the last go around, but DWS wants to ensure that the entire board has an opportunity to review this and provide any comment they may have or suggestions about the allocation. So as it is now, each AOG gets a $400,000 base that's higher than the original base. It used to be $300,000 or $200,000. We upped the base so that the adjusted criteria within the formula wouldn't have such a big impact. And so that was one of the things that changed. And then the other thing that changed was the addition of the pre-approved communities. We don't have that many pre-approved communities. As you can see, we are tied with the lowest amount of pre-approved communities, and a pre-approved community is a community that HUD has recognized by census data that over 50% of the entire population of a community is low and moderate income. So the more rural counties have a lot more of those, which makes sense. And so that was something that they fought for in there. We talked the weight down on that, and then upped the base a little bit. So that was kind of the compromise that we came to. This is how it stands. And they're going to ask us in September if we want to keep or modify this method of distribution. Again, Mayor Allen and I have talked about that the compromise did seem to, while it wasn't, our first decision, something that we were comfortable with. And I just wanted to see if any of you had any thoughts or comments on it that the mayor and I can take to that state policy meeting.
Christy, can I say something? Thank
you. Absolutely.
Thank you for that explanation. As Christy said, it was an uphill battle 3 years ago. And I think we would be fortunate to keep this formula just because we are at a slight disadvantage as far as votes go in that group. What did that affect us, Christy? Maybe $100,000 a year? Or was it, I don't think it was hardly any more than $100,000 because we were slightly over $1 million, but you can kind of see the fairness, those rural communities. It's so hard for those rural communities, and to get stuff. And so it's a fair compromise. And I think if we can hold this compromise and hold this formula, I think we'll be okay. Because they could pull something else out of their hat and do something crazy that would, pull from us even more. But I think this is very fair for everybody. So so I think we'll continue to fight for this one, unless anybody has any other comments on that.
Could I just ask the question?
Yes,
if some of the other communities that are more rural receive more money, but they cannot spend the money, how does the surplus get allocated?
Yeah, good question. Any AOG that isn't able to spend all of their money, that money then gets put back into the statewide pot. So it doesn't get sent back to Washington, but it gets back into the statewide pot, which then again goes through this formula next year. And so will be reallocated to all seven AOGs.
So it's basically non-lapsing.
I'm sorry, what?
It's like non-lapsing money where it just carries over.
Right.
Yeah.
Not yet. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I think the base is a good thing to have in there. That's, you know, everybody's going to get something and it's a decent amount of money, but the percent of, and I think you guys are doing this, but the LMI population is should be the critical number, and where those people are, that's where the money should go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might have a higher percents in the rural communities, but the total number is what is where those funds should be mostly directed to. So I don't know. And I think that's kind of the way it is, but.
It is kind of the way it is. And I will say that Bear River Associations of Government did point that out at our meeting last week, saying that the percentage is kind of a misrepresentation because it's a percentage of our population, and our population is so much higher, and they would like to explore somehow counting persons, LMI persons, rather than a percent. And they're going to work out how that math would work in a formula. But again, that's going to be another uphill battle for the rural communities.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to hurt them, but.
Yeah. I know this is a lot to kind of take in and wrap your brain around, and the mayor and I have had a lot more time to talk about this and work through it. But DWS just wanted to make sure that everyone, you know, if there were any comments, that the mayor and I were representing all of us as a region and not just, you know, what we thought about it. So.
Can I ask one more question? Did you and Mayor Mark talk about, I'm just thinking about some of the projects and the cost of projects as it relates to percentage versus total number of people, for example. So if you were looking at, let's say, just the services or the 20% towards services, right? And, you know, if you're looking at the cost of what maybe a service or building a building inside of a more urban setting, you know, the cost for something like that, like transitional housing, for example, right, is a big cost. Whereas in a rural community, they may have different types of projects, right? So transitional housing in a rural community might be a big house with 6 bedrooms, right? Whereas in a more urban setting, it might be a 40-bed facility. Does that make sense? So did you guys talk about the types of projects that get funded at all in terms of the formula and how it related to the different sized counties and AOGs and all of that?
We didn't, and I'm not sure if what I'm about to say will address your comments. Let me know if it doesn't, but each region gets, you know, prioritizes their rating and ranking differently. And so it's hard to compare types of projects because, you know, it's like comparing apples and oranges. If you in a basin, for example, spends all of their money on housing rehabilitation and Bear River spends all of their money on infrastructure projects, like how do you compare those or capture that in a formula?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I guess my thinking was just around, and maybe it just doesn't even pertain, but just around, like when you see, say, $400,000, you know, that could be one project for one agency inside of one town, right? Like, depending on the type of project that you have versus sharing it $10,000, right, amongst a bunch of others. So, and maybe it's not germane to this conversation. I was just thinking about uses of the money once you receive it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. But I do think that this is strictly talking about how DWS is going to allocate the money to the AOGs. And then once the AOGs have that money, they kind of have more control over how that money is spent.
Got it. That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, well, I promised you guys a quick meeting. I know it took us a while to get off the ground. I guess one last thing. I know we had talked about this meeting being in person in May, and that would have been great. As I said in the email, you know, with this being such a short agenda, it would be a really long drive for a really short discussion. But additionally, WFRC is still not hosting meetings in our office yet due to the Delta variant and the rising number in cases. So that's why this meeting was virtual. But it seemed like in May that people were liked the idea of getting together in person, having lunch, you know, getting to chat and actually be with each other. And so if that's still the feeling of the group, you know, we can shoot for that in November, just knowing that, you know, we're going to stay in line with Salt Lake City and Salt Lake County health recommendations as WFRC is following that, as we are located in Salt Lake County and Salt Lake City. So I will just keep you guys posted on that. As we get closer, I can send out an email asking how people are feeling and an update on the health situation and everything like that moving forward.
That sounds good to me.
Sounds good, Christy. Christy, you missed number two. Can we go back? CDBG, oh, CV.
Yes, I sure did.
I know we had some complications in Weber County. We'd like to kind of see what prevailed there.
Yeah, so we had a big project proposal in Weber County. We fought really hard for it to go through, but the discussions with DWS, they just felt that it wasn't ripe enough. It wasn't fitting for their timeline. There was some eligibility questions. You know, we pushed back as much as we could, and just we couldn't get that through. So. And that ruling did come down after the timeline, the deadline for proposals for projects. And so due to that, they did grant us a very short extension to try and get more project applications in. Mayor Allen and Melissa worked really hard with communities in Weber County to get some applications put together. And we sent a bunch of proposals to them. For them being DWS for review on eligibility and if it meets their timeline. Unfortunately, a lot of the projects, for example, the ones in Washington Terrace, DWS said that they would require a long environmental review process, and because we were so late in the cycle. They said that they would not be able to do a handful of those projects, but we were able to spend some of that money in Ogden City with the YCC Crisis Center, Family Crisis Center, as well as Youth Futures. Both received some money from that allocation in Weber County. But if we want to look at the positive side, we were able to fund a lot of good projects with that money. Tooele County is spending some money to do a outdoor educational classroom program. Morgan is expanding the Weber Morgan Health Department in their city hall, which is going to be great. And then we did some stuff in Salt Lake County for the Work Activity Center, which is a center that provides services for persons with disabilities. They're going to spend some money there. So we did get a lot of good things done with the money. It was unfortunate that, you know, we ran out of time, you know, fighting so hard for that project in Weber County. It was going to be a good project, but we did a lot of good stuff with the money.
So we spent all of our money. We didn't give any back.
No, we were not. Nope. The amount of money that we were going to spend in the Weber County project, we weren't able to spend all of it, but we were able to spend the majority of our money.
Okay. So we did send some back.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, but, you know, in talking with all the other AOGs, They had just as much trouble spending this money as we did. And I believe all seven of the AOGs had to give some money back.
Okay. Well, I hope we learned something from that experience. That was just an unbelievable amount of strange circumstances, correct? We had CV money coming in, which, you know, the government, as we received our tranches last year, you know, the counties, you know, they changed the goals. They changed all the guidelines week to week to week. I think they did that with us a little bit here. We had Cheryl retiring. We had just kind of a perfect storm hit. And so I hope we learn something from this, that when we, you know, when we hear a deadline, that we jump on that quickly, because I know there was some discussion when we heard that first deadline. You know, some were saying we heard that deadline back in December, or we heard that deadline in January, or we, you know, none of us really heard any of these deadlines. It was kind of like, wait a minute, we were never told that deadline. So,
it was definitely a learning experience for me, for sure. And it was a lot of, you know, the HUD didn't release guidelines for a long time. And then once they did, DWS made their own guidelines for how the state was going to administer it. And like you said, there really was a perfect storm that hit there.
Okay. So I guess we just need to, when we hear something like this, I guess we just need to immediately go to HUD and who is it? DHS?
DWS.
I guess we should immediately go to them and say, hey, okay, what are the dates? What are the deadlines? What are the guidelines? And get them to tell us right up front quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not messing around. And I'm not.
No, I'm with you, Mayor. And I also learned a lot in the process. And what I learned is beyond even just hearing directly, like, what are the dates? What are the expectations, right? I think even asking questions like, how long does the engineering review process take? And having, like, if you're going to do this type of a project, you have to have this process, so that when you're looking at the timeline and you're pursuing one that may take like an engineering review, right, for say land acquisition, it's a minimum, what, Christy, 60 days? Like, so if your deadline is within 2 months and you can't even get the engineering review done, don't pursue that project, right? So I know that sounds pretty self-explanatory, but you say get an engineering review, but you don't realize that sometimes it's the state that requires their people to do it and you have no control, or sometimes it's a contractor to do it and they'll accept it. So I think to be really crystal clear on the type of project you're pursuing, and then you work from the deadline backwards to see if you put any time into it. Because I felt like there was a lot of wasted energy, maybe to no one else's fault. Because by the time we got down the road, the timeline issue was just, you couldn't even follow their process, but they didn't even have the process written out. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely learned a lot. And, you know, for the sake of the world, I hope we don't never get CV funding again, but, you know, learned a lot. And with Cheryl's retirement, DWS is changing some of their policies and the way they do things. And so definitely going to have to do a lot of close working with them to make sure that we're meeting their new expectations and following their guidelines that they're updating as we speak.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we used most of the money, at least used most of the money in our group. That's a great thing. And hope we helped some people. I'm sure we did. You know, a lot of people, I've said this time, there's so many people out there that need help. I mean, there's so many people that glided through this, you know, myself included. Didn't hurt me at all, you know, mm-hmm. but but you know, I'm on that fixed income. I'm in that fixed income group, and you know, I kept getting my, you know, my checks, but there's people out there that, you know, didn't get anything, and businesses that couldn't get anything to give anything. So,
right. And that was another problem that we ran into. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know, we tried to do that great work at the beginning with the rental assistance and the business assistance. Yeah. And then the state said, no, we're going to do that. So you have to do something else now.
Yeah. I mean, we tried our hardest, and that's all we can do. And all the red tape just started unwinding and tied us up, and, you know, but we gave it our all. Right, Melissa?
You bet, boss.
Boss. I like that. Well, all of you start calling me boss.
Yes, boss.
I don't know. Boss.
I'll change it in the minutes right now. Boss Allen.
Yeah, well, whatever. Okay. No, I appreciate all of you on all your efforts. And like I say, I'm glad we got a lot of it spent, and I'm sure it went to some great, great projects. So thank you all.
Lance and Rochelle did a lot of great work to get some good projects in their counties as well.
Good. That's what we want. We're a group here, and we want our group to thrive and prosper, and you know, we'll work together to make that happen. So thank you.
All right. Unless anyone has anything else they'd like to discuss, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right. I'm never sure if we need to do that, but I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Okay. We'll see you in November, right?
We sure will. Hey, thanks you guys so much for all your hard work.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.